Hey guys, and welcome to Hunting Land, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. If you'd like to stay up to date on hunting tactics, land management, land values, and land market dynamics, this is the podcast for you. This week's show is brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. If you're frustrated with typical hunting and fishing magazines and tired of reading content, meant for guys that are up in the north or up in the Midwest, check out Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Don't get left behind following the guidance of guys who don't fish or hunt in your home state. You can pick up a Great Days Outdoors Magazine subscription, and it will help you become a better Southern outdoorsman. Great Days Outdoors Magazine can be found at your local Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Tractor Supply Company, Rural King, Bass Pro Shops, or you can save online at greatdaysoutdoors.com. If you're looking for a beautiful state that's packed with outdoor attractions, check out Mississippi. Of course, you know about the Mississippi River, but there are a lot of great rivers for paddling throughout the state. Coastal Mississippi's waters are perfect for deep-sea fishing or exploring the state's five uninhabited barrier islands. You'll find national forests with campgrounds, trails, and recreational sites, 25 state parks, and wildlife management areas, too. Whatever you like to do in the great outdoors, you can do in Mississippi, where wanderers are welcome. Plan your adventure at visitmississippi.org/outdoors. I'm your host, Joe Bai, here today with my co-hosts, Nick Williams and Butch Theory. Guys, today we're going to be talking about forestry and really careers in forestry. It's one of those industries that's been around forever. You know, I think a lot of people think they know what it's all about, but there's a lot to it. And really want to answer the questions today, you know, is the field growing? What kind of opportunities are there? I know I think about these things a lot, having two young boys. You know, I want to make sure that I expose them to all the industries they could potentially end up in, and also help them understand all the ways that they could end up in that industry. I know as a kid, I saw forestry happening, you know, like when we were out hunting, I saw skidders and I saw log trucks and I saw foresters and, you know, flagging and boundary lines painted. And we drove past the sawmills and, you know, we saw all this stuff going on, but I didn't have any family members in it. And even though it was something that was interesting to me from the outside looking in, it seemed like insurmountable to even break in to that industry. So much so that I never even really considered it. It was almost like, man, you'd have to be born into that, you know, to start from scratch and then get into that industry. We're going to find out if that's true or not. Did either of you two guys ever consider, you know, forestry as a career path?
No, not really. But I saw a lot of it. Like I had family that was involved in it, I guess, 70s through the 90s, worked in it, had a career in it, retired from it. And you heard the stories, you know, whether it was out there driving the trucks or running the chainsaws or working in the mills. So it'll be interesting to see. I have kind of a preconceived idea in my head of what the industry looks like from 30 to 50 years ago. So I'm excited to see what's changed since then.
Yeah, man, I never really considered a career in the forestry industry. I know it's a huge thing here in the Southeast. I grew up on Dolphin Island, you know, on the back deck of charter boats. I was not really exposed to it too much until we bought our land in about the year 2000. Didn't have a whole lot of guidance, I don't feel like, from the high school that I went to. And even my college years, you know, people trying to point me down a path or give me opportunities in specific industries. It'd been really cool to have some high school classes, you know, kind of pointing you somewhere in the fisheries or the forestry industry. Just a little bit of guidance would have been very helpful.
Yeah, I can't agree more. You know, whether it was from a high school counselor or just like getting involved in some type of a group, you know, at that age, just wasn't really exposed to what that day-to-day would look like in that career, what that quality of life would be like. You know, I think we spend way too much time focusing on a pay scale and this saying, well, I don't know, like I want to make more than that for some arbitrary reason. Like, why do you want to make more than that? And also, what are you having to do to make more than that? There's so many, I would say, misguided things that I got into as a young kid that established what I went towards. And luckily, you know, I did have my parents, probably the best advice they gave me was just to do something you're passionate about because you're going to be doing it for a long time. And that was some good guidance. And, you know, a lot of people maybe have a passion for wildlife. They may have a passion for being in the outdoors. But they may not, like you said, they may not want to go and tromp through the woods, you know, and they just think forestry is all about being a consultant forester or a logger. We're going to find out all the different ways that you could get involved in the forestry industry today. And also, maybe you've got a kid that's considering all different types of career paths, how you could expose them to this industry if you think they'd be interested in it. Joining us this week, we've got Stephanie Fuller with Forestry Works. Stephanie, thanks for joining us here. You know, I always wanted to combine my passions with work. Some days I wonder if that was the right choice or not, you know, because they can kind of take away sometimes from those passions. But forestry was always one of those things that I looked at as one of those possibilities. My brother was a fisheries major. I mean, we grew up hunting and fishing, and I was like, how can I spend more time outdoors, you know, and turn it into employment? I didn't choose forestry. I chose communications, but I mean, that's one of the things I think we'll hopefully get into today is how something like a degree in communications could turn into a career in forestry and a lot of the other ways that whatever you're interested in could. Before we get into that, tell us a little about yourself and what you do with Forestry Works.
Absolutely. Thank y'all so much for having me. My name is Stephanie Fuller. I am the Director of Promotions and Economic Development for the Forest Workforce Training Institute, which is known as Forestry Works. And so I handle all of our expansion and promotional efforts throughout not only Alabama, but the Southeast and the nation, and also work on all of our promotional efforts, marketing and recruitment to job seekers in the forest industry.
Very cool. You know, like I said, I think for me, it was natural to consider a career in forestry. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the woods and kind of understood how forest economics worked, but I really did not consider all the other career paths that I could have taken, that could have taken me towards forestry. So first question is the field growing? Like, you know, with what you guys do, is it all about consultant foresters and logging and sawmills, or is there a lot more to it than that?
Yeah, so a lot of people, when they think of forestry, the term forestry and also the term forestry works, your initial thought is going to go to being a forester, right? Being in the woods, marking timber, consulting landowners on what to do with their forest land. However, forestry is such a large and very unique industry, not only in a specific state or region, but throughout the nation, that it requires a very, very diverse group of people to keep the industry running. And so while we very much, want to highlight our professional foresters, consultants, procurement foresters, and all those guys and girls that are out there actually in the woods every day, there's an array of opportunities from natural resource conservation to harvesting, obviously management, and on into careers that are inside. And people don't think about those careers a lot when you think about manufacturing not only primary products, but secondary products as well. And all of the jobs that come along with manufacturing products, such as office type jobs. We need accountants. We need communications directors. We need HR managers. We even need nurses at our facilities. And so there's an array of opportunity to be involved in the really expansive and constantly growing forest industry without only being a forester.
So, Stephanie, talking about forestry, like you said, like you need accountants, you need marketers, you need people that can do supply chain management, you need, like you said, nurses. Like it's not really so much like it's something that I looked at, right? Like as a marketing student, you're like, well, I can work in any field. I can work anything from construction to medicine. And I'm sitting here now in the outdoor industry. And I have a kind of general idea of what the outdoor recreation industry size is. And it was, I think, a piece of advice I got from a professor who was like, hey, you guys need to just look at the overall size of the industry because how much money that industry makes, that trickles down to how much industry you make as a marketing manager or as an accountant or whatever it is. Can you give us just kind of a broad figures look at how big the forestry is here in the Southeast?
Yeah, absolutely. So forestry, as I said, is a huge and growing industry, constantly expanding. Specifically in Alabama, the forest industry has an annual economic impact of over $36 billion. And so that translates to directly employing over 53,000 people, but that also trickles down to employing over 120,000 people in jobs that support the forest industry. And so those are people who work at the power company, and they have more jobs needed because there's more power being generated for expanding industry. And so we're constantly seeing those numbers growing, and we're seeing a lot of that money going back into not only our local economies, but our rural economies. And so that's really important to the South and the Southeast in general, is to make sure that we're supporting the rural economies.
Along those same lines, and kind of further to what you were talking about before, you've mentioned a lot of those business admin functions. A lot of people go get a degree in business. When a person is considering an education path, if they're interested in forestry at a broad scale, but they are maybe going down one of those business admin functions, is it necessary for them to specialize? And are there curriculums that do specialize in the forestry industry, but then are related to specific functions like you were talking about? You need accountants. Do you just go get, your degree in accounting and then maybe step into an internship? How does forestry works like really help students and job seekers, connect those dots?
So, Forestry Works, we really focus on promoting forest industry jobs in a very broad light. And so we understand when we talk about workforce development, that we need to approach workforce development in a long and a short-term approach. And so we need to focus on recruiting workers for the jobs that are available currently, but also recruiting workers for the jobs that will be available in 10, 15, 20 years. And so Forestry Works really aims to start in the elementary schools. We really want to focus on not only providing education materials about sustainable forestry and what that is, but making sure that they understand that eventually that will be a career pathway for them, just the same as being a lawyer or a doctor or a teacher or all those other careers that are very readily talked about and resources are very readily available to know what that means. And so making sure that students are comfortable with the idea of what sustainable forestry means, and that we're not killing the environment when we're cutting down trees, because we really need to make sure that students are comfortable with that idea before they will ever transition into being comfortable with going to get a degree and then entering the job field and seeing a accounting job or a marketing job at a forest industry company. And so that really translates back to forming those opinions very early in life. And that's where that career education starts. However, as they begin to get older in the K through 12 system, we really want to make sure that we are creating clear pathways for those students into whether that be directly into the job field, into a community college or technical college degree program, or into a four-year university and beyond type degree program. One thing that we really like to promote is that you don't have to go to college to be successful in this industry. There are tons of job opportunities at every level for a really wide array of people and types of people and skill sets. And so we like to make sure that we're creating those pathways in high school and helping them understand the opportunities available to them. And so, for our more skilled positions in the industry and what we kind of call traditional forest industry, you're going to see jobs like forest technician, you're going to see jobs like forester and logger. And so we make sure that we are pointing them in the right direction, whether that be on the job training, some sort of certification course, technical college, or a four-year forestry degree program. However, when it comes to students who might want to go into more of a business field, but then end up back in forestry, a great pathway for them would be, you know, to go about their regular degree programs. However, there are opportunities to minor or take elective classes in forest business, forest economics, family forest, small land ownership, and understanding the basic dynamics of the industry and also how it plays a role in the economy and the communities in Alabama, because it's just woven into the thread of everything that we do. And so I definitely think that internships and elective courses are 100% the way to go for students who are seeking a more traditional degree path, but might want to end up back in the industry one day, so that they have a good understanding of, you know, instead of selling widgets, we're selling logs, and making sure that they understand the product that they are fundamentally working to manufacture and sell to consumers.
Stephanie, I know just from my like own personal life experience, when I was a kid, I used to think, man, it'd be awesome to be an outdoor writer and sit in a cabin somewhere and write articles about moose hunting or salmon fishing or whatever. And I had this image of me getting older and growing a big full beard, which you can see hasn't really happened. And, you know, I thought, well, I'll sit there by the fire with a pot of coffee or a flask of whiskey and I'll write. And I had some sort of a image of myself sitting at a typewriter, and I'm lucky, like I get to live the dream and work in outdoor media, but it's very different from that. Like I do some writing, but stuff has changed, you know, like I'm here on a podcast, had to learn how to do podcast hosting. You have to learn to do search engine marketing, like outdoor media, storytelling, it's changed. You kind of mentioned that like forestry has changed. Can you give me some specific examples of how that's changed and maybe some new demands that are in the industry now or that are projected to be in the industry in the next few years that students can kind of prepare to step into?
This upcoming generation of workers is really well positioned to be very successful in the forest industry. And we think that because as we see technology advancements, we see the evolution of our equipment into more video game type equipment. And so we see a generation coming up that is very well versed in working with computers and using their hands to run joysticks and machineries and focusing on multiple tasks at one time. And so that has been really cool to see that transition into our logging equipment, into our sawmills, into our pulp and paper facilities, and then also into the management side of forestry. And so really being able to operate that equipment at a very fast pace, focus on lots of screens at multiple times, but then also looking at drones and understanding how to operate drones for management purposes, we think is kind of where the future of the forest industry is going. Obviously, we are always going to need boots on the ground. That is not going to change. Forestry is always going to be a rural industry. It's always going to be a green job. And it's always going to be an industry where outdoorsmen and rural people are at home and they're comfortable. However, we do see a lot of advancements in technology, which also means more machinery and maybe, you know, less hands in the actual manufacturing facilities, which also increases productivity and safety. But when you're taking your hands off the boards and instead it's a machine touching the boards, you still need people to be able to operate that machinery. There's always going to be a human element to it. And so we really see the students who are more technologically savvy having an opportunity to join in on jobs that maybe beforehand they might not even be interested in.
Nick, I like your image. I'm not real sure why that beard came in all white trashy like it did, but most of that dream has come true.
And we don't have meese or salmon in Alabama either, but right. That's neither here nor there, I guess. Maybe he was looking to move somewhere else away
right.
from us.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting how you guys are focusing, like you said, kind of K-12 on getting younger folks accustomed to forestry, you know, and sustainable forestry and what that is. And in a lot of cases, I think probably changing perceptions for some people. When kids get older and they start to move towards, you know, post-high school, you mentioned those internships, those curriculums. What kind of partnerships do you guys have with universities or community colleges and that kind of thing You know, and really my thought on this question is if I'm a parent who's got a kid who loves being in the outdoors and really enjoys this aspect, you know, what advice would you have for them as kind of how to nudge them along? I know that was one of the things that I can't say it was bad advice, but my parents were always very much, you know, do what you love, it'll all work out. And that was not bad advice, but sometimes I wish old dad had been like, hey man, you need to go this way, you know? So what advice do you have for parents?
Absolutely. So, you know, my advice for parents, first and foremost, is to not be afraid to encourage their kids to look into dirty jobs. And so I feel like for so many years, there has been a negative connotation towards what are perceived as dirty jobs. But as I mentioned, those jobs are not that dirty anymore. They're very high skilled, very high tech jobs in most of these most of the sectors of the supply chain. And so just really encouraging parents to open the horizons to what would be considered maybe non-traditional education pathways, and all those areas where you can really get a valuable high paying career. The first step that I would encourage any high school student to take in order to learn more about forest industry careers, if they have that inclination, would be one, to obviously get involved with 4-H or FFA programs in their local communities or high schools. Those are an incredible pathway to not only build knowledge about the specific industries, but also to build leadership skills. And those are very important as those students move on. We also at Forestry Works have high school curriculum programs. We have a forest worker curriculum program that is currently available in 223 of the Alabama public high schools in the state of Alabama. So this is a curriculum program that is normally taught through a vocational or agriculture or ag sciences teacher. And it is taught in that classroom to encourage not only a general understanding of Alabama's forest industry and the South Sea's forest industry, but also helping promote the career pathways that are available to them once they learn about the industry sectors. These are the jobs that are available in these industry sectors. And so we really like to pair that with making sure that we are taking those students who are completing that curriculum in a classroom setting with our industry partners. And so we work very closely with the Alabama Forestry Association, the Alabama Forestry Commission, to make sure that we are setting up field trip opportunities for these classes to go into the woods and to go into the paper mill, to go into the sawmill, and really get to experience from woods to mill what that process looks like and where the toilet paper that they're using come from, where, you know, the boards that build their houses is coming from. And so making sure to make that full circle moment of, this is what the industry is. This industry is in your community. This is what that big building over there down the street, this is what's happening behind those walls. And you can make a really good living doing this job. And so that has been incredibly successful in connecting high school seniors with immediate job opportunities after high school. We have seen a lot of success in that program. But then also beyond that, helping students find pathways into, if they want to go into a community or technical college, we work very closely with the Alabama Community College System to make sure that we can point them to the right community college to fit the program that they might be interested in, whether that is electrician or welder or maintenance technician. There are tons of already existing training programs in the community college systems that fit perfectly into forestry. And then on the four-year college and university level, making sure that we have partnerships with Auburn University, Alabama A&M University. Those are the two forestry schools in the state, to make sure that we are pushing students who want to become registered professional foresters to those programs. There's also tons of schools that have natural resources program, Tuskegee University, lots of schools up north who have natural natural resources programs for those students who are kind of looking into more of, you know, what we would call non-traditional forestry. And that's before the actual, you know, harvesting of the trees starts and making sure that the animals and the plants and the water and all that is okay. And that's a very important part of sustainable forestry. And so partnerships are very important with what we want to do, because our goal is never to recreate programs that already exist, but it is to figure out how we can kind of guide students into those programs to grow the industry in the future.
All right, folks, we're going to be right back. Y'all take a minute and check out some of our sponsors. First South Farm Credit. What does a farm mean to you? Maybe it's just a piece of land where you can go relax or enjoy the outdoors. Whatever the farm means to you, First South Farm Credit can help you finance or refinance that perfect piece of land. As a successful financial cooperative, First South shares its profits with its borrowers in the form of a patronage refund, which lowers your cost of borrowing. To find out how First South can help you, visit their website at firstsouthland.com or call them at 800-955-1722. They are an equal housing lender.
Texas Hunter. Texas Hunter Products is celebrating 70 years of engineering the highest quality outdoor products in the industry. The Texas Hunter brand has become synonymous with quality, dependability, and durability. Their premium standards have earned the trust of generations of anglers, hunters, and outdoor enthusiasts across the country. Texas Hunter directional fish feeders feature patented technology and are among the highest rated in the industry. With multiple capacities available and deployment options for shorelines or docks, Texas Hunter has the fish feeder for any lake or pond. You can trust that Texas Hunter products will meet your needs for generations to come. Learn more at texashunter.com.
Bucks Island Marine. At bucksisland.com, you can check out the full list of inventory from new and used bass, pontoon, and bow rider style boats, new and used motors, as well as kayaks. They love trade-ins, which provides a steady stream of used boats, and they can rig your boat at their 18-bay service department or ship your new motor anywhere in the United States. They provide boat service on all kinds of boats, even if they weren't purchased from Bucks. They have factory-trained and certified technicians, so visit them at 4500 Highway 77 in Southside, Alabama, or give them a call at 256-442-2588.
Stephanie, talk to me a little bit more. I know you've mentioned several times now that, you know, you're trying to change the perception that younger people have as forestry as being something that is a green project. And I know, I think there's some people who get in their head when they think about forestry, they think logging, and maybe they think about something that they saw as kids or that they heard their granddaddy talk about, right? Like the family place got logged and it went from being a forest to just red dirt, erosion in the stream. Back in the day you had issues with, like, you talk about making the toilet paper, right? And to make the toilet paper white, you got hydrochloric acid that's being dumped in the river. And I know that's something that I've done a lot of reading about, and it's really encouraging how much the industry has changed. For the kind of starry-eyed college student who's out there, right, they want to make a difference. They want to make the world a better place. Talk to me a little bit about how that opportunity exists in forestry, because I know it's there, right? Because, like, if you want to make a difference in the environment, most of the land throughout the Southeast is privately owned. A lot of it's managed for timber, like that's our big export. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So we firmly believe that the industry drives conservation and sustainability, because if there were no market to harvest and sell timber, there would be no reason for landowners to want to grow trees back on their property. It is not necessarily cheap to replant trees and do plantation forests. And then when you get a volunteer growth forest, you know, it's not always, it's going to produce whatever it produces, and you have no control over that. And so we firmly believe that forestry helps push our private landowners in Alabama towards sustainable practices and managing their forest, not only for timber, but for wildlife habitat and for endangered species and biodiversity. And so there are tons of opportunities. Like you said, our state of Alabama is 93% privately owned of 23 million acres. And so there are huge opportunities for forest technicians, consultant foresters, professional foresters to interact with private landowners and make sure that they are not only educated about what these practices are and how they can implement these practices, but they have the assistance needed to implement these practices, because we understand that owning land is a huge undertaking, and some people are thrown into that, whether that be, you know, through a family member inheritance and that kind of stuff. And so the forest industry has done a really good job of being a very approachable industry and making sure that we are providing avenues for our landowners to implement sustainable practices in a realistic manner. Because I think sometimes when we think about conservation, we have these big dreams and they are very expensive. And so I think that managing forest and working forest is a very sustainable way to have a longevity of sustainable practices. Working forests are going to grow. You're going to do a first thin and a second thin, and you still have trees growing and you still have carbon sequestration happening during that lifetime. And so we see grandparents who are planting trees that they will never see anything done with, but they are providing that sustainable future for their grandchildren. And I just think that's a really cool story of caring for the future and caring for the next generation.
Yeah, Stephanie, we've covered a lot as far as job goes. You mentioned earlier that you can make a decent living in this, you know, in the forestry industry. And we've covered a lot from accounting to marketing, you know, all the way down to cruising timber. So it could be a varied, you know, big scale. But what is the earning opportunity? How much, you know, does it vary greatly, or what is the earning potential in these various positions?
So the earning potential in forestry, it does vary a good bit. And that is basically, you know, obviously we are going to see more skilled positions. You are going to see the positions in your manufacturing facilities that are more highly skilled, such as saw filers, maintenance technicians. Obviously, when you get into the pulp and paper industry, you have engineers in that and scientists in those programs. And so you're going to see a very high earnings price point for what we would call more of those four-year degree, doctorate degree type programs. However, there is still a very attainable lifestyle and meaningful and well-paying careers for people who are not going into those four-year degree, doctorate degree type programs. And so for a general logger, log truck driver in the industry in Alabama, the earning potential, you know, we can normally rest on $50,000 to $60,000. And so that in our rural communities is a really good living for a family. And, you know, you get the beauty of, you know, you can be at home at night with your family. If you're a log truck driver, you're not over the road for weeks at a time. You have a quality of life aspect there. And for that section of the industry, it is very much also, you benefit from the deep connection that you have with the environment. And so for a lot of our loggers, you'll hear them say it, it's a passion project. It is something that's passed down for generations through families, because it gets in your blood, and it's a love for the outdoors and caring for that natural resources that we've been blessed to be stewards of. When you get into being a professional forester, you're probably going to see an earnings of a little bit higher. Those are require a higher degree set. And so you're going to look into more of the 60,000 and above, 60 to 80,000, even more than their earning potential based on where you work. When you get into manufacturing, I obviously mentioned that more of those skilled positions are obviously higher paying, because you have to work your way into those jobs. And so there's a lot of on the job training opportunities available within the manufacturing facilities, where you can start out sweeping the floors for, you know, $15 to $18 an hour, and then you can work your way up to a salaried position within the mill, even being the mill manager potentially. We've seen that happen over the years. And so it really depends on, you know, where you think you fit and what your skill sets are. And I genuinely think in this industry, the possibilities are endless.
You know, Stephanie, I would say some advice that I got as a young person that was bad advice was to spend too much time focused on the question Butch just asked, honestly, because at least when I was coming up, it was just this, well, if you're going to be thinking about money, you might as well be going after the highest earning positions, period. And even if you don't like, even if you're not interested in that at all, what I have always said, you know, when I've discussed this topic with my wife and thinking about our two boys, is that if they've got a business mindset and they've got an entrepreneurial mindset, you can make money, a lot of money, plenty of money, doing anything. But you do have to progress in that field. You know, you could start out at the lowest rung of the ladder, but you've still got to have an entrepreneurial mindset to be able to not have a ceiling. And a good example of that is what's going on with the drones right now. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. You've got to, you know, if you're looking at a kid who maybe he loves video games and you're thinking, what am I going to do with this boy? You know, I mean, you're going to, you know, you're wanting to walk through the woods and he's wanting to play, you know, play on his iPad. And, you know, to be able to connect those two dots is a pretty cool thing. And see that now with what's happening with drones and herbicide applications and
GIS, all the satellite mapping and
cruising timber and all that. And, you know, you hand me a drone, I'm not going to be able to do that. So my question is, do you see forestry as an arena that someone who has that entrepreneurial mindset can find success? Have you seen innovation, you know, that's happening within the forestry industry where you, you know, maybe you've got a guy who started out as a consultant forester and he saw this opportunity with drones and now he's got his own drone herbicide company, things like that. Do you see a lot of that? And is there a lot of room for that type of mindset in the forestry industry? Because I think of it as, you know, it's been around, we've been doing this type of work for a long time, but it is changing every day.
There is absolutely room for newcomers to join the forest industry and make an incredibly successful career out of whatever they choose to do. Because our industry is so old and we do have such a strong foundation of the industry built, there is no fear of the industry disappearing. There is no fear of the industry being exported to overseas. We are here and we are rooted and we are here to stay. And what that provides is the opportunity for young people to come into this industry and continue to evolve and grow into, you know, new practices and what that looks like for the future. We have a incredible turnover that we're seeing right now, specifically within the logging industry. And so we know that our loggers are getting older and we no longer are seeing as much as that generational transition of logging companies anymore from father to son or grandfather to grandson. And so what that provides is an opportunity for a young person who maybe didn't come from within the industry to step onto a crew and work their way into an ownership position. One thing that I will say about the forest industry is it is a very tight-knit community all throughout the state, all throughout the Southeast. And so it is not uncommon to be able to work your way up in the industry and build those connections and have really cool opportunities presented to you just because of showing your work ethic, showing up every single day and showing that spirit that you want to be in this industry for your career. And this is what you've chosen. And so there's a lot of opportunity for young people to join logging crews, put in hard work and show that effort. And there will be opportunities to advance in that career. The same with timber dealerships, the same with manufacturing facilities. Our manufacturing facilities, while they do need skilled workers to come on board immediately and start working in those licensed skilled positions, there are a lot of manufacturing facilities who say, just bring me somebody who is willing to show up, put in the effort, and we will advance them as high as they can go. The sky is truly the limit in those jobs, and they just want to make sure that you're willing to put in the time and the effort, and you can become the mill manager from starting and sweeping the floors. And we've seen that time and time again. So there is a lot of there's a lot of retirements happening in the industry, and there's a lot of turnover happening, but that also opens room for opportunity for young people and newcomers into the industry.
Stephanie, you know, when we were coming up with the line of thinking on the show, I was really wanting to do something more geared towards parents of children who might be thinking about forestry as a career. But you guys do a lot for people that are maybe already out in the workforce and you're trying to recruit them into the forestry sector. Tell me a little bit more about that for our listeners that, you know, maybe are they're out working and they'd like to move over to doing something to get themselves out into the woods a little bit more.
So Forestry Works is very focused on a short-term approach to workforce development and sustaining the current forest industry, as well as the long-term approach. And so we want to make sure that we are providing pathways for adult job seekers who are already out of high school and in that working phase of their life. We have really cool programs that help address challenges that our industry has seen in specific parts of the supply chain, such as truck drivers. And so Forestry Works has created a truck driver recruitment program that helps aid not only our loggers who need log truck drivers, but also our manufacturing side of and our supply chain side of the industry, making sure that the raw fiber as well as the primary products and the secondary products are being taken to where they need to be taken. And so the truck driver recruitment program focuses very heavily on providing opportunities for truck drivers who might be hauling long haul or over the road to be able to come home and drive for an industry that exists in their community. Our approach with that is making sure that they understand that they can drive during the day and be home with their families at night, be a member within their community, and focus on that work-life balance that is really important to them. We also have a job board on our website that we very heavily try to recruit people who match the skill sets and the interest sets that might be a really good fit for our industry, to make sure that they understand not only where these jobs are at and the details of these jobs, but also can just see the abundance of opportunities available in our industry and where that's located within their communities. We also want to make sure that while job seekers are looking into those jobs and understanding what careers are currently available, that if they have questions about what a certain career is, what is a forestry technician, what is a saw filer, we want to make sure that we also have resources available to them to help understand what a career looks like, what that pay might look like, what type of training or education path they need to take to start on that career. And so not only forming pathways for high school students, but forming pathways for adult job seekers as well, so that they can become a successful part of the forest industry.
Yeah, Stephanie, on the flip side of that, you know, if there's a owner of a logging company or a trucking company that's listening to this, it's like, great, I can recruit somebody young that's going to be, you know, young and gung-ho and ready to get out and do something, or somebody that's looking to recruit somebody that's hardworking, that's looking for this kind of work. How can they get involved?
We would love for any industry member in the forest industry in Alabama to definitely reach out to us. We have tons of opportunities for employers, not only including the truck driver recruitment program. If you need truck drivers, please register to post jobs on our job board. It is seen by tens of thousands of people every single month, and those jobs can be really well advertised so that you might find the right worker. We also have resources to provide for the industry where you as a community member can take resources into your community. We believe that workforce development is most impactful when it is brought to students and job seekers from people in their community, people that they know and recognize and really can create that relation and that relationship and that connection with. So we have tons of resources for employers, and we just want to make sure that we are providing solutions to the workforce challenges within the industry.
Stephanie, it's been enlightening to see all the different ways you guys are working to advance more and more people coming in to the forestry industry, but also to learn that, you know, it is kind of an aging industry and there is a lot of opportunity, and really with the right mindset, there's a lot of opportunity for growth. Thanks for joining us today and talking about this. You know, you mentioned that job board earlier. You've mentioned several different resources. If folks want to get online and check out everything you guys are doing, what's the best place for them to go?
We would love if everybody would visit us at www.forestryworks.com.
I don't know about you boys, but, after about 3 or 4 days of punching the keyboard, I'm ready for a dirty job. I'm ready to get outside, get in the woods. When I go to my place, I'm excited to sweat and work hard and I'm sure it goes the other way. In 4 or 5 days of that, you're ready to go sit in an air-conditioned office. But some days I feel like I did miss my calling, to be in the woods full time in some capacity. But after talking to Stephanie, I realized that if you're interested in this industry, there's a place for you no matter what type of education you're interested in seeking. Whether it's a marketing degree, being an accountant, or all the way down to just, being an electrician. There's a lot of need in this industry. And I really do go back to if you're the type of person who's willing to work hard and interested in innovating and willing to take a little bit of risk, there is no ceiling. I feel like that's one of the things I'm always reminded of, and this show is no different, is that I just spent a lot of time when I was a kid ruling out careers that, in my opinion, didn't pay enough. And instead of paying more attention to like what's the day-to-day look like and what are my opportunities for advancement within this? What were y'all's big takeaways from today?
I think my biggest takeaway is that, you can think of timber. Like I grew up with a lot of family in the timber industry or that worked at a paper mill, and it was a good living. But when I was a kid, I was like, man, I don't want to just sit there and work in a mill or drive a truck or run a chainsaw. Like you look at Maslow's hierarchy, and it was like, well, I don't know how far up the pyramid that gives me. But like what Stephanie was talking about, like so much of Alabama in the Southeast is privately owned timberland, and it's great that you have, the students who want to get into conservation, environmental preservation, they want to work with state agencies, or they want to go work with the Nature Conservancy or whatever it is, and they want to go change the world, make it better. But like looking back, like the opportunity, like if you're somebody who wants to make that difference, there's huge potential if you get into the timber industry at different levels to change and push that industry into a greener place. And that's going to do a lot more than how state and federal timberlands get managed,
Yeah, definitely. I can remember growing up. Of course, I was younger, so I didn't really have any clue what I wanted to do or where I wanted to be or any of that. But one of my dad's best friends growing up, he was a forester and he cruised a bunch of timber. And I can remember him coming out to our place, and he was tall and skinny. I just remember those big old legs. He would get it, son, measuring all the trees and spray painting. I just thought it was the coolest thing ever, But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, not sure if I want to be out there wrestling snakes and sweating all day and poison ivy and all that. But, at that point, of course, it never considered, or I never considered that somebody has to sell his services. Somebody has to do the accounting of that. Somebody has to, be the back end of that and process all that data. And just pretty cool. Sounds like there's a pretty much an opportunity for anybody that wants to work in that industry.
No doubt. But what you're saying too, Nick, I think that's really important. Like I'm working with my consultant forester now to convert a loblolly pine plantation, even aged, to an uneven aged longleaf pine forest. And I'm doing that because I'm really focused on the wildlife habitat. I want to keep prescribed fire on the landscape. I want to promote biodiversity, on my property. And I'm really thankful that I've got a forester that can consult me on that and make sure that, we're doing things in the stages that they need to be done. We're using the best management practices that we can use. And I'm glad he's got that education to be able to guide me that way. It doesn't matter what your inclinations are. It sounds like there's a way you can fit in that industry.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. She was talking about everything, like you think the traditional jobs, driving the truck, running the chainsaw. But then when she was talking about some of the different, like drone surveys and stuff like that, like that's some pretty high tech, high speed, low drag, futuristic type stuff like that. That sounds pretty cool. Won't lie. Might have to get off this meeting and go look that up.
Sounds
Maybe
like if you're willing to work, there's
you
work to
can
be
be
had.
put to work. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, we're going to be right back. Y'all take a minute and check out some of our sponsors. This week's show is brought to you by Baker Metalworks and Dixie Supply. Baker Metalworks and Dixie Supply offer numerous items to help get your project done right the first time. They carry a variety of different panel profiles and your choice of colors and gauges with all the matching trim and accessories. They also offer a full line of hardware items and post-frame building design. Their friendly and knowledgeable sales representatives are always willing to help answer any questions or concerns you may have. Contact them with any questions or to get a free estimate today. Baker Metalworks, and Dixie Supply, your metal roofing headquarters. Southern Seed and Feed. Do you want to provide better nutrients to your deer? If so, try Southern Buck Food Plot Blends. Your deer will love it. At Southern Seed and Feed, they specialize in making textured feed for horses, cattle, sheep, goats, hogs, chickens, small animals, and wildlife. Their products are proven irresistible, scientifically formulated to promote excellent herd health and hunter satisfaction. They supply products to various distributors throughout the South. So visit their website at southernseedfeed.com or call 662-726-2638 to find the dealer nearest you. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Appreciate you joining us. We want to make it easy for you to listen, so here's a handy option for you. To get the podcast emailed to you each week, just text the word hunting to 773-770-4377. Again, just text the word hunting to 773-770-4377. You'll join our email list, and wherever you are listening to the podcast, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review. Send us a written review. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got a show topic that you are interested in and like to see us cover, just email us at pros@landhunting.com. That's going to do it for us. Y'all stay safe out there. We'll talk to you next time.